Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Trials of Apollo, the Tyrant's Tomb, Chapter 33. Welcome to the war. We hope you enjoy your death. Please come again soon. Okay, but why did it have to be bicycles? I understood that cars were a deal breaker. We had crashed enough.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
I just was like, oh, I can actually if I do this, we can actually look at each other now with this setup.
That's
because
so
we've been recording this podcast
next to each other. Setup looks like a podcast studio. Like, why do I look like we're in a podcast studio?
It's so professional.
And you know, no one can see us. So so glad I just said that.
We could always be doing videos. It's always been an option.
It is always a possibility. Yeah.
It's just sometimes I don't look like how I
know. We're just recording them at crazy times. Yeah. Ava, Neve, how are we doing this week?
I'm okay. I'm tired because I have just been working a lot lately. I've kind of been at the restaurant that I work at more than I've been in my apartment. We're getting that money though, for living, and B, for our lovely little trip to Spain, which is in not very many days, actually, which is super crazy to think about.
A week from when this episode comes out.
Yeah.
A week and a half.
Oh my God. You're so right. That's insane. I'm so excited. So I've just been working a lot and I'm very tired. But in general, I've been chilling. It's getting a little warmer. And I'm very excited also to move in when we're recording this exactly a month from then, which is going to be awesome. Real apartment. Woo. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. I'm so excited for real apartment and I literally haven't seen either space, in real person. But I'm doing good. I feel like I'm getting on a good, I don't know. There was a while that I felt really bad, just not ill, but I felt like I was just constantly fatigued and almost woozy tired, so tired. And I was this is just my normal schedule. Why am I so tired? Turns out just needed to make an active effort to drink water. I felt so much better, eons better since I was maybe I just have to hydrate, especially because I was going to the gym and stuff and not making an active effort to drink water. You can't exercise like that and not drink water. So that was my bad. Literally a water bottle with the recording right now. Feeling a lot better. Drink your water. Really excited for our trip to Spain. My parents are currently over there right now visiting my sister. I was literally just on the phone with them and they were talking about how lovely it is over there. And I'm so excited to get to see it. It's going to be such a fun trip. I think that I've been so in my head about planning it because it's my first vacation, by myself, especially leaving the country. I went to Ireland in May, but that was with my whole family. So I was just along for the ride, you know, I didn't make any strategical decisions.
And our friends have done vacations before.
Yeah.
But we've gone
in
to
the
upstate,
United States. Yeah.
Right.
Leaving the country. I was trying so hard to plan everything and talking with my parents, they were just yeah, it's very much the culture, but also just for yourself. It's really not nothing's that deep. Just relax. Everyone here is relaxing all the time. They're they nap midday. Literally don't worry. Like, you don't need to plan anything, basically. Like, they just, they're chilling. And I was like, so true. So, very excited to be chilling over there. It should be so much fun. Also, I'm excited to be in the airport. I love airports.
I love airports. Oh, my God, you guys.
Love airports. They're literally so fun. Like, I love airports. They're just I don't know why. They just have,
everything
I ever need in my life is just, like, sitting around.
It's a special treat. I love airports.
I love it. I love airports.
It's also going to be weird because, like, I'm the only one who's not, for the listeners, there are 5 of us going on this trip, and 4 of the 5 of us, like, everyone except for me is flying out of the same place. And so I get airport alone, which, honestly, I'm bummed I'm not going to be on the same plane as you guys, but, like,
airport alone seems wonderful.
Airport alone is kind of spiritual. Yeah.
I do. I love airport alone. I'm going to my cousin's wedding in May, like a week and a half after we get back from Spain. So lots of airports for me, but I get to do that. I get to do airport with people and airport alone.
You have a mixture.
Speaking of that, how are you, Brayden?
Zumba with worlds.
And how are you, Brayden?
I'm good. I'm like deliriously tired, frankly. I have just been on a crazy schedule trying to get everything I need to get done. But the show I'm working on is now in previews. It's going to open this week. So my life will get a lot easier after that. And it's already a little easier now. And I had today off and I'll have tomorrow off. And I got a lot done today. So tomorrow, I will also have to get a lot done, unfortunately. I have to finish editing the Return to Camp Half-Blood Percy Jackson Awards that were... if you're listening to this. But is it 2 days for us now? Time travel,
basically.
Well, welcome back to this week on Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week we'll be discussing the Trials of Apollo the Tyrant's Tomb, chapters 33 through 36, through the theme of reckoning.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we'll be really reckoning with what that means.
Period.
I have a notes app apology lined up so we can reckon with behavior.
That's funny.
And you know who else is going to be reckoning with their behavior?
Oh.
It's going to be Ava. She has to summarize the chapters this week in 30 seconds or less.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready? You should be. Go.
I feel like you're gonna... Oh, and you did. Okay, so at first they're like, where are we? What do we do? And then they're like, secret tunnel. And then they're like, look, not that one. And then it's another one. And then they go in another one. And then they see Hazel. And they're like, let's ride Arian. Let's go. We're gonna go. And then they go. And then I can't get over the fact that Frank got lit on fire of his own accord. That was the biggest thing for me, is that they're fighting. Caligula's like dead. Commodus is like almost dead or something.
You are out of time.
Oh.
The shock and horror on your face.
Oh, guys, I've been trying to work on my time blindness lately really hard, but I guess the apple doesn't.
Well, you got the most important thing that happened.
Is that Frank is dead.
Like, girl.
But also the emperors.
Yes. Well, I had to mention
actually,
that.
Yeah, but we shouldn't discount that. That was big, too.
Yes.
Caligula's a slime ball, and he's officially, you know,
no longer
locked out forever. But,
Yeah.
But no, Frank, Inferno.
Did I don't think that was on our... We remember that episode where we listed different terms for to say someone's dead?
Yeah. And you know what?
I don't know if we've done clocked out.
Yeah.
I like clocked out.
I think I invented it just now. Clocked out forever.
Yeah.
I like it. So we can keep it around.
What else did she miss that was important? I like those were the most important. Yeah. There's a lot of action.
Yeah.
Something to summarize. Yeah.
People are like, is Reyna okay? And Apollo's like, she's alive.
Oh, true. Reyna's leg is hurt.
Yeah. Jury's out on Reyna's well-being at
the
moment.
Down for the count.
I'm sure she's fine.
Yeah, I'm so sure she's okay.
If a main character is going to die, it's going to happen in front of our POV character. It's not going to happen on screen.
Yeah.
It would not be Reyna, knock on wood.
We had a main character die on screen.
Yes. Yes. Wow. I'm just saying that I don't think, knock on wood again, that I don't think he'd kill Reyna in just as a whole.
Oh, Rick.
Yeah.
I did not expect Frank.
I didn't fucking either. Also because he went out in such a similar, like, the parallels between his and Leo's situations.
So real.
At this point, every boy of the seven,
they're down like flies.
I'm sure at some point Percy sacrificed himself to do something that I'm not thinking of now. And
every book? Every book,
yeah,
probably.
Is,
yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. They've all sacrificed themselves and exploded.
Yeah, I'm sure he's exploded.
So, Percy, Volcano.
Oh,
no.
In Battle of
Labyrinth. So true.
Blows up in Volcano. Leo blows up with Gia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jason blows up on the ship being stabbed.
Yep.
It wasn't what killed him, but he did explode afterwards.
He did explode
afterwards. And now Frank exploded himself.
Yeah.
We have to say our songs. I have to get into this discussion.
Oh, yes, we do have to say our songs. I was just like full throttle in.
No, but that's so true. It's so true. And we have to continue.
All right. My song. I had a lot of fun with these chapters generally, and so I also had a lot of fun picking the song.
Me too.
We've said it before that sometimes Rick's action scenes are lacking, but sometimes really slays them.
Yeah.
And oh boy, was the action in these chapters fantastic. The battle scene was fantastic. I did, however, have to choose the song for Frank's slow motion death. Because that was written in slow motion. Like
it was
detailed.
We spent a lot of time in it.
And it is I Know the End by Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh my god, that's bold.
You're welcome.
Okay, well. No, like I can't even act like scandalized because I do have a similar pick in that like it's so unserious. It's one of the best songs to dance to, probably, by one of the best dance music artists in the world, Sean Kingston. I did pick Fire Burning.
Oh my god. Girl, we like Frank.
I know. I love
no,
Frank.
But this is a celebration of Caligula and Commodus.
Oh, true.
And the yacht. No, it's not. No, I was giving you too much credit.
No, it's not. This is about Frank. I respect Frank so much that I feel I can make a little joke. If it's a character I don't like, I'm not gonna, you know, be given the I'm really talking out my ass. Anyway, yeah, I chose Fire Burning by Sean Kingston.
She was really trying to like give some deep justification.
It's so funny
like,
that
no.
That's the one song and yours is like, I can't even listen to I Know the End unless I'm in like the lowest of the low. Like, I need something to, like, it's such a devastating song.
That's why I got the silly.
Right. I feel like I have found a middle ground. Not-
you know, like, really, it has to be.
Yeah.
There's because- nothing more extreme on either end.
You're so right. Because yeah. I was telling Brayden a few days ago that I am of the firm belief that when Taylor Swift releases something, even if I don't get it right away, like, that's on me. Like, it's just going to take me a couple weeks, months, maybe even a year. But eventually, like, I'll be up to the speed she's at. And I have recently felt it about Midnights. Do I think it's a great album? Like, the best? No, of course not. Do I think it deserved album of the year? No, that was atrocious. However, I can respect a lot more of the music on it. Like, just, like, listening, like, for funsies. Because not everything has to be so serious. Sometimes we can just have fun. And it's a good, fun little album. And sorry, Taylor, it took me a while, but I'm here. I got there eventually. I'm still, Snow on the Beach is still, like, the worst song. However, also, we've mentioned that there wasn't that much Taylor Swift on these, like, if at all,
yeah.
on these playlists. So I wanted to add You're On Your Own, Kid. Which
could
be one of the best songs I think she's ever written. And unfortunately, yeah. like I would assign that song to Frank's playlist.
Yeah.
And it's tragic. So here it is.
Neve rides hard for You're On Your Own, Kid.
Why is it so good? Like, she had no right to put that good of a song on
such
a mid album. Yeah, on such a mid album.
Yeah.
It's such a great song. But I do feel like his whole journey in these books too, like of becoming getting this leadership position that like he's just so constantly sure that he doesn't deserve, even though he does, and like trying so hard and doing this ultimate sacrifice, I just felt like it was a good little tune, a good little heartbreaking tune for the events that conspire in these chapters.
That's fair. I do though, because you brought up Taylor Swift's new album, just reminded me. Because of the discourse in the world, that this is our first podcast episode recording in a post Cowboy Carter world.
Oh, bitch! Yes,
I want it. We can't. We're not going to spend too much time on it.
We need to talk about it
because this is the space in our Percy Jackson podcast that is the space to discuss
yeah.
Cowboy Carter.
And the songs have nothing to do with.
I really tried.
Yeah.
I really tried.
Me too.
But just, like, quick thoughts.
Girl. Should we go person by person?
Let's go person by person, just quick thoughts, and then we'll get back on track, probably.
Do you want to go first, Ava, or I can take it away?
Sure, I'll go. Incredible! I love this album. I love it. I listened to it getting ready for work. I still haven't quite finished it, actually. I'm, like, a good, like, two-thirds of the way through. So there's a great possibility that the last few songs are going to decimate me, but I can't stop streaming Bodyguard. I'm also, for me, Bodyguard is the pick of the album. She's that girl. I love her. I have it on my playlist. So kind of side note, I've been in a really weird kind of spring music era recently where like, also like my work is like 15 minutes away in this like other neighborhood that I drive to, and on that, I have a playlist that's called Good Morning, insert neighborhood here. I mean, I guess it doesn't fucking matter. I work in Wicker Park, like it, whatever. No one even knows what that, anyway. So I have a playlist called Good Morning, and it's Remy Wolf and Bleachers, because those two artists, for me, are Chicago Spring. And
Bleachers is living in a city in your 20s at any time of the day. I've noticed like any season of the year, you put on a Bleacher song, you're like, oh, I'm living in a city in my 20s. Like, I don't know why. He's like not in his 20s, and I think he lives in New Jersey. But like, good for him for capturing the sound.
No, I know. But like I crank up like Modern Girl, and then that is the best song of that album, by the way, just saying. In my eyes. But anyway. And so I was like, I don't think any other artist can infiltrate this playlist. I think this is so specific. And then I listen to Cowboy Carter and I'm like, oh, girl. Like, it's incredibly good. She's revolutionizing the country genre. She's making people think about what they want to hear in different genres. Like, I feel like she's making listeners of her music and also of country altogether a lot more like conscious in terms of like what they want from music mm-hmm. in different genres. And like, do they want artists that push boundaries within genres, blah, blah, blah. I think it's so interesting. It's so important. And also like, I think the difference between tracks, like it's not one of those albums where a bunch of the songs sound the same. Like she's just doing it like no one else. Like there's a reason that she is like this cultural like deity. Those are completely. My thoughts.
Yeah, me next. It's amazing. I am still reeling over the Miley Cyrus duet to Most Wanted. It's literally such, it's so, their voices are so different, but like could not sound, it sounds like such an 11 o'clock number in a movie somehow. I don't know. It sounds like a movie soundtrack song and it's so good. I love it. And Riverdance is also a standout. Love that one. I've also just, for some reason, as since the album has come out, just revisited Texas Hold'em over and over again.
Great song.
Well, I've been here.
Yeah, I've
been here.
I listened to it a couple times when it came out, but for some reason with the full album, I'm like, I need to listen to the song over and over again. But overall, the full album had such a good journey, flowed so well despite being such a like genre pushing and like hopping around to different styles album. The Jolene cover is amazing, or cover is a strong word, sample, rewriting the verses.
Rendition.
Yeah, that's better. It was great. It was overall just like such a great critique of like this Americana Western world that has built up without acknowledging such an incredibly important part of their base for so many years.
Right.
And it's great. She ate. I don't even like country music, but I guess I do now for this.
Exactly.
I like country music and I like this album. Like, I think this album is going to have a reckoning for country music, both in the way the industry works and how people's attitudes toward country music will be. I think there's a space and attitude around country music that is rooted a little in class divide.
Oh, yeah.
That feels like something we really have to overcome.
So true.
In both in what country music is often about and in the audiences for country music. Country music has historically not been a space that admits a lot of growth.
Yeah.
And I think this album will open the floodgates for a lot of more diverse artists in country and a more diverse range of people to start to see themselves in country music and for the genre to feel more accessible to people of different kinds from different places. Because I think country music is such an American, one of the only like really American, country and jazz are American musical styles.
Yeah.
And rock music a little evolved out of both of them. But
rock was also very British. So
yeah,
it's like,
but like, yeah, like most of our pop music and our dance music is heavily European influenced.
Yeah.
And I think bringing more of the country roots and making mainstream more the jazz R&B roots, like both Beyonce doing both in one album, I think is a real, I was like, I feel American. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It also, the album has supported my view that I've withheld for a long time that that women write the best country music.
Oh yeah, completely.
Perhaps should maybe be the only people to do it.
However, I like Orville Peck.
I have heard good. Maybe it's just the straight white men should maybe leave the game. I mean, yeah. Someone.
Have you listened to Country Girl Shake It For Me though? That song goes hard.
I literally have a playlist called Songs That Make Me Feel American. And, like, listeners, don't judge me. It's, like, mostly ironic and, like, a joke. But, like, it's on there. That song is on there. Dead ass. So,
get up on the hood of my daddy's tractor. Gucci bunks, it don't matter. Love it. And that International Harvester has very similar vibes.
I love International.
And, of course, she thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yeah, I guess.
What's the one about the rain and the corn? Rain makes corn, corn makes whiskey, whiskey makes my baby get a little frisky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of country music.
There
also is a lot of Percy Jackson books, and that's what we're really here to discuss. I think let's just jump into the theme.
Yeah.
Because we're here to talk mostly about what Frank did and the reckoning that Frank brought to the Roman emperors.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to start here, because it's a little earlier in the chapters, with, I'm going to read the exact quote that, and this is the quote that inspired, of the chapters that inspired our theme of reckoning this week. I'm just going to read the whole paragraph, because I think it...
Yeah.
For all the legion's efforts, the enemy kept advancing. On the empty eastbound lanes of Highway 24, the emperor's main columns marched toward the Caldecott Tunnel, their gold and purple banners raised high. Roman colors. Roman emperors bent on destroying the last true Roman legion. This is how it ended, I thought bitterly. Not fighting threats from the outside, but fighting against the ugliest side of our own history. I said, girl...
I know.
So true.
I have so many thoughts about that. The idea that, like, empire, like, oh God, I have so many thoughts, but I can't word them at all because they're all swimming around in my head. The idea that, like, the 1% of an empire or what have you, that's like very specific language, but like the idea that like the ruling class in whatever empire there is not representative of, like, I mean, the sky is blue, but like is not representative at all of like the citizen, like, population of the empire. And like the idea that like any decent attributes of an empire in terms of community, like the people heading that society are trying to destroy.
Yeah, I think it really relates.
You're not a real part of the community.
Yeah, I think it really relates to the kind of reckoning we have in American politics the moment that we're faced with. And we're really leading into the election, really looking at what this decision is going to mean. But the clear problem and the clear reason the country is divided, just with two different ideas of how to approach the need for change, is that empires fall when the ruling class no longer represents or has connection with the populace.
Yep.
And turns inwards when the ruling class starts to blame the populace and the populace starts to blame the ruling class. That's when empires fall. And that's what this is about. Like, that's, it's very related to like how actually Rome fell was very similar to this. But I thought this was such an interesting point to leave, just with the metaphor we've had about the emperors this whole time, in their like 1% status. I loved everything about these chapters, which is crazy because up until now this book's been a little slow, but we picked up speed real fast.
We hit the ground running, right? And like the past chapters were also really impactful as well. It was just,
that's
like
true.
Yeah. It was great. I think that the way that we're like talking about this, it like I don't know. It's just, there's no way he could have known, but it just really is like so related to the election that we're about to face.
Yeah, I think this book was also coming out basically right before the first time Trump, like the Trump and Biden race. And so I think we felt a little of it that then too, but I think it's still also different now. We're in a post January 6th world, and I think that defines a lot. But it is, as like the politics of this are real, current and present. And I think that's why Frank's sacrifice in this feels so strong, is like, because he is another leadership figure, and the way he approaches it in opposition to how Caligula and Commodus approach their leadership, in which to them their people are expendable, and to him he's expendable, because he is just a figurehead for people, like what that leadership means, I think is really interesting. And I think Frank models great, like a lot of great things about leadership in these books, particularly in this book, about the public service should be exactly that, service. Like it is a job, it is not a job to be taken lightly. It's not an easy job, because you are meant to basically suffer to help other people.
Yeah.
What happened, and then Caligula and Commodus are a representation as what happens when that flips, when you're no longer serving the public, when you turn to expect the public to serve you.
Yeah.
Like American politics.
And I also think that the way that Frank like does this is also a reckoning of just like how he was even given the ability. Like it's, because it's a wrap up of this multi-series arc with this little fucking piece of wood that like his whole life force is attached to because of this like other system that is currently in power, kind of going back to the original themes of the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series of like, what is like that he is in a leadership, like middle management position.
Yeah.
Being like in charge of leading all of these like people beneath him and trying to be a good, like what you just said, like trying to be a public servant to them, but also in these like omnipotent powers that be have attached his life force to a fucking piece of wood, like that he's also been put in really unfair positions by the people who have more power than him, which is like even more interesting that we see all of this happening through Apollo's eyes, because it was definitely a different feel. I mean, like equally, honestly, surprisingly, not equally as sad, but more sad for Frank, because we really did like Frank, and it's so crazy to think that. But like a different view of this sacrifice than when it happened to Jason, because like Frank did do this in a way willingly, and in a way that like with this like horrific thing that had been set upon him, that like he was realistically only going to outrun for so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's like the real tragedy of it, is like, he knew this was going to come at some point, and he decided to use it at the time it would most benefit everyone he loved and everyone in his life and the people he was responsible for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for like how he had basically run from it his whole life, but then like took the initiative to kind of like take it by the shoulders and like into his own hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pour one out for Frank.
I don't know. Sometimes I think in this book, like it's hard to remember that like even the demigods have like real human autonomy, because like there is such heavy emphasis placed on the idea of like destiny and fate. And like, there have been a few like solid plot points about
the idea of like writing your own destiny and things like that. But like that as a theme isn't necessarily prevalent enough to like square up to the like constantly overhanging threat of like fate on all of them. But the idea that like real human mortal autonomy is kind of the thing that like brought Frank to reckon with arguably the biggest force in his life is also a really cool reminder that like these characters have a lot more power than they seem like they do in a very mortal way.
Yeah. Well, because he takes this thing that is a liability, that is a curse, that he is told he has to protect this, and he turns that on its head and uses this thing that is supposed to be meant to punish him to help other people, and it's like completely subverts what the firewood means. I just thought it was beautiful, and it was beautifully written. And I thought also the like Apollo's role in it was great for Apollo too, that like Apollo kind of knows something's going on, but he won't let Frank do it alone. I thought a lot of growth from Apollo. Yeah. And I liked that the fact that Frank is kind of a little bit of a Jason, getting revenge for Jason in killing Caligula specifically.
Yeah.
But Apollo gets to kind of tie up his own arc that was more personal with Commodus still. I just thought it all really worked well. I thought it was really strong.
I agree.
Yeah.
Do we have any more thoughts about these chapters, or do we want to do sass moments?
We could do sass moments.
Sure.
All right. My moment was very early on. Joy and happiness. Now we could pedal into battle in the like the neon yellow warriors of old.
I love it.
Mine was, you messed up, Ella decided. Give it time, I said. Gods don't always show up immediately. Once it took me 10 years to answer some prayers from the city of Pompeii, and by the time I got there, maybe that's not a good example. This man, it's just... Like, I know it's just Rick for the sake of jokes, but I'm like, damn, we just keep adding atrocity stuff on this man's rap sheet. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I have two, like, smaller ones. One was just before it reached me, Centurion Larry hurled his javelin. The monster fell at my feet, impaled in the middle of his incredibly unmanscaped back. I was like, damn. And then it kind of goes into the next one, which is, you made it, Larry grinned at us. Where's Raina? She's okay, I said. She's alive. Cool. Like, not even questioning it. She's like, cool, exclamation point.
That's good.
I did realize I had one more. It's fine, Frank said. Terminus, can you open our defensive barriers here at the main gate? Why would I do that? We'll try the Wakanda thing. The what? You know, Frank said. We funnel the enemy into one location. Terminus glowered. I do not recall any Wakanda thing in Roman military manuals. I just thought it was a fun reference.
It was a good reference.
It was a clear, like, Rick was like, okay, here's the solution to this. Oh, wow, that's the same plot as Infinity War.
Yeah,
let's just, like, it's, it was just a real great use of lampshading, being like, I know, it's this thing. You already know it's this thing. We're just going to admit it's this thing, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah.
Oh, I also liked Tyson calling Arian Zoom Pony.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good moment.
Who do we want to give offerings for? I feel like this is a stupid question because it's Frank,
right? It's Frank. Like,
it's
Oh my God, I really did not expect him.
King.
Like, you're always a little bit like, anytime Frank is in a battle, you're like, is he gonna die? Just like, because he has always had this stick, which is why I just never expected that it actually would be him.
Oh, and he also fights so well too. Like, yeah, the way he, like, it's such a good way to go out, and he's like, the way he's like transforming into animals and then back and forth, and like, oh, I thought it was a great use of his powers too.
It was.
There's a part of me though that, like, the parallels with Leo, I'm like, we didn't get nearly as much time to like mourn him. So I'm like, what's really going on here? Like, it's a little sus. In the same way that Leo's presumed death was a little sus.
Well, so it happened at the end of the chapter, so we'll see what continues on.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Most swarm of bees comes back and gives them guidance.
And who do we want to vote off?
Caligula.
I'll go with Commodus then.
Okay.
Okay,
then. Right. Nope.
I'll go with Nero because he's still alive and fuck
that. Period.
Oh, no, so true.
Rest in chaos. Rest in peace.
Rest in hell.
Rest in bitch.
Bitch. Rest in bitch. But with that, folks, that's all for this week. Join us next week, though, where we'll be discussing
chapters 37 through 40.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We're at Return to Camp on every platform that matters, and we also have a coffee account on our Redbubble store and website, www.returntocamp.com. It's been a week, so if you haven't listened to the Percy Jackson Awards, what are you doing?
Sure.
Listen to that. Sure.
It's very cool.
Yeah,
we're very fun. Happy 201.
Happy 201. Oh.